Okay, hi everybody. Well, thanks for coming. I'm sure you all remember my last talk about Einstein. Good. Are there any physicists here tonight? Any chemists, any doctors of any real science whatsoever? Good, then I can talk. I don't know, I'll try to roll through this a little bit kind of quickly. But I'm going to kind of give the story since the last talk. And I gave a little talk about Einstein last time, I think it was, about a year ago. And I had met Einstein in a circle, and Millie told me that Einstein wanted to work with me. And I thought, oh, that's very interesting, he's got a lot to work with here. And lo and behold, he did kind of impress upon me the need to write a talk. And I delivered the talk here, and it had to do with conscious evolution. And it was a talk about polarities and about the masculine polarity, the stable force, and the feminine flowing energy polarities, and how when people become more conscious and are able to kind of integrate those two aspects within their experience, it allows for a more creative expression. And the really exciting part was when two or more of those kind of conscious people get together, there's something that something called we space. And within that we space is where conscious evolution can actually happen. And up until now, humankind has pretty much been doing just evolution and, you know, all of creation pretty much unconsciously. And it's kind of been happening, and it's been very, very slow. And the message from Einstein that I got last time was that it's time, okay, for us to kind of like become conscious, and more of us are becoming conscious, and so it's time to pick up our game a little bit and actually kind of start to, you know, steer the car where we want it to go a little bit more. Okay, so that was kind of like what Einstein wanted me to tell everybody back then. And didn't think much more about Einstein after that too much. But everybody here knows I'm a terribly depressed person most of the time. Or at least I am if I'm not convincing you otherwise. So actually I was in a bit of a depressed spot, and all of my prayers, you know, my prayers weren't working, and all of my efforting wasn't working, and I just had it up to here. I just had it up to here with God, and God wasn't performing at all. And so somewhere along the way, I saw this poster for Kundalini Yoga and Depression. And I thought, well, I like yoga. I'd done some yoga in the past, and said, oh, yeah, I got depression. That sounds like something I should go do. So I went up to Encinitas, and I took this class. And the class was kind of interesting. It wasn't quite like the yoga I was used to, where you're standing and stretching a whole lot. A lot of it was just sitting on the floor. But the teacher kept talking about things that sounded like Einstein. It sounded like the talk I'd given just a few weeks earlier. It was talking about polarities, and was talking about, you know, universal energies, and was talking about evolution, and talking about, you know, the change from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age, and growth. So anyway, it caught my attention, like maybe I was supposed to be there and maybe I was supposed to pay attention. And so I started hanging around and doing this yoga. And I kind of just said, you know, rather than efforting and trying to sit down and think these prayers and all this verbal stuff, I'm just going to do the yoga and just do the physical exercises and the mantras and just do that as my prayer, even if I don't know what it's doing or if it means anything. Kind of like the Lakota Indians. They kind of have a magical method of, you know, skewering their chest and hanging themselves from a tree and kind of pulling back. And you know, they offer up their pain to God as their prayer. Strange way of doing it, but you know, the normal way of talking to God wasn't working for me. So, it's kind of like getting out of all of that left brain stuff and getting into the right brain stuff. And the more yoga I did, the more the more right brain kind of stuff, the more chanting and the more mantras and the more wild dancing and the more cheap thrills. So I want to tell you about the remarkable results. The results of this. And I know I have remarkable results because last week, Anita, Millie's daughter, who I've known for 20-something years, you know, she's seen me not every day, but through hunks of time. And she says to me something to the effect of, "I didn't even know you playing with children and singing." So, so anyway. So I'm going to try to explain a little bit of this stuff without getting too much into it because I don't really understand very much of it from the scientific and the yogic sense. Rebecca's really good with the yogic knowledge, and she's a mystic, and she's a poet, and she's wonderful, and you want to get to know her, and later on I'll tell you when her yoga classes are because she teaches right down the road and stuff. But I'll talk a little bit about some of the science stuff, but I'm a little bit worried because I got a message last week. He comes to me, he says, "Do you know Einstein?" And being, you know, modest, I said, "Well, yeah, me and Einstein, we're kind of like this." And he says, "What? How'd you put it? Einstein wants to..."
"He called you a dumbass for doing whatever I..." "Oh, yeah. I left it with him to tell you what."
Yeah. Okay. "A dumbass, a horse's ass, something like that."
"I didn't expect it from Einstein."
So I'm going to leave the science part for you to run through your own God self and determine. Anyway, started working with the yoga. And Kundalini yoga is a little different than a lot of the others. There's not as much focus on the asanas and the tying yourself in the pretzels and stuff. And not quite as much balancing. There's some of that stuff, and there's some physical stuff, and but a lot of it is just simple stuff, like hold your hands out like this for half an hour and stuff. So in addition to the physical stuff, there's also a lot of the science of sound, the nod, the mantras, and the making of the sounds that kind of are resonant with the cosmic sound of the universe. There's a lot of mudras with your hands and things that you do with your hands to hit meridians in your body, and also with your tongue in your mouth when you're speaking words and things. There's a lot of energy channels that are hit. What else? I guess those are the major aspects of it that we kind of rely upon. But so it kind of utilizes all of these different yogic techniques rather than just one. It tends to make yoga happen a little quicker. Of course, yoga just means union. And in the Kundalini concept, and actually all yogas, it's union of your finite self with your infinite self is the goal. And nothing wrong with any of the other yogas. They'll all do it. It's just maybe some are quicker than others. So anyway, I started working with these energies and opening up some of my chakras and becoming aware of energies that I didn't know I had. Like one of these things I found out is my second chakra, which is the one where you keep a lot of your creativity and a lot of your emotions and a lot of your sexual energy and stuff. Well, I had holes in mine. It was leaking all out a lot. And a lot of my depression, not the sexual energy, the other stuff, the feelings and the depression and the sadness and stuff, rather than having it kind of be contained and transmuting it, it would kind of leak out. And so I started working exercises to strengthen my second chakra, and lo and behold, I found it, if I kind of keep that stuff under control, it kind of rises up naturally in my fifth chakra. My voice takes on a little bit more of clarity and a strength, and I can actually kind of speak my word more and maybe admit that I'm depressed or something, and it's received better than when it's just kind of hemorrhaging out of my second chakra. Or another example I found out on my My third chakra, the navel center, where is kind of where you get your fire in the belly and your oomph. You know, when you get your desires out of your second chakra kind of tells you what you'd like to do, and then your third chakra is where you get the oomph to make it happen. Well, there's a connection between the third chakra and the sixth chakra, and I was noticing if you work your third chakra and kind of pump your navel, you can actually feel your third eye pulsing, which is kind of interesting because in doing spiritual mediumship when I'm up here, I get visions in the third eye is what I utilize to, so it kind of helps. So anyway, that kind of stuff. Let's see. So some of the things, there's some subconscious programming and some of these other habits of unhappiness that just seem to kind of like either go away or come up by themselves and that got touched on and that are healed and being healed. And it seems to happen automatically, just kind of doing the stuff. There's one meditation called Satanama. Satanama, Satanama. Do that for a half hour a day for a while, and things just start changing, and I don't know how or why, but very effective. There's another one here. Har, 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 har. I've taught this to a lot of my friends because we're all broke. And if you go har, 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 it's a prosperity, and it brings money. Sometimes you have to work for the money, but the job will show up and stuff. Really, it works good. Okay. But one of the most valuable aspects of this that I learned is accessing neutral mind. And they teach about three minds. We have a positive mind where everything is kind of good and cheery and optimistic, and we kind of maybe have rose-colored glasses on sometimes, and we think that, you know, it's going to work out fine, and, you know, what me worry, and sometimes we kind of live in a little bit of a fantasy world there. It's not necessarily always tied into reality, but it's the positive mind, and there's a good place for the positive mind, and we need it, and we like it. And then there's the negative mind where, you know, we judge things, we're constantly kind of like analyzing, you know, the cost-benefit analysis, and is this good for me, or how much is this going to cost, or you know, should I do this, shouldn't I do this, that kind of stuff. Well, there's another mind called the neutral mind, which sometimes we don't know about, or if we know about it, we don't practice using it very often, and that's kind of the mind that's above the monkey mind chatter. It's the witnessing mind, really, and it's the mind, actually, that when you practice getting there, you get to that still, quiet spot, that place of, in yoga we call it shunya. And basically, for me, that place of shunya is right on the edge of my finite world, which is kind of like behind me and a little bit below, I'm looking down on it, and the vastness of infinity in front of me. And again, when I'm up here doing messages, I close my eyes and I look out into the vastness of infinity, kind of like a big movie screen, and I ask, you know, for an image, for a message. And so being able to get to that spot quicker and easier, and then being able to walk around in it more regular, in my regular life, even while I'm depressed, much better, much better. So, and I want to mention, too, about this idea about meditating and just kind of getting out there and leaving the world behind, and that's not what it's about. It's not about abandoning the physical world. A lot of people think that the lower three chakras are bad chakras, there's no use for them whatsoever, and you just want to spend the heart chakra and the mind, and you want to get out, and you want to live in bliss all the time. That's the goal. Well, for some reason, we choose to come down to the physical world. And in Kundalini yoga, at least, they kind of teach that the goal is to take the physical finite realities and take our physicalness and join it with our soulic self so that a total complete package of who we are and an awareness of the totality of ourselves as being a complete bubble in God, even in the physical, is what we're trying to do. Now, I kind of way got off my notes, which is good. But I want to find the part where Einstein talks to me. Walking on the edge. Okay. So Einstein says that he tells me he had it backwards. And Einstein, everybody knows his thing was he figured out how to take an atom apart. And in the process of taking the pieces of an atom, you know, the matter, taking the physical apart, it released all this energy. And he was big hero and brightest guy in the world. He says he had it all backwards. He said the game is not to escape from the physical. It's not to escape from the world of Maya. He says the game is not to release spirit from matter. He says the game is to bring spirit to the physical and to the denser aspects of creation. Bring spirit to the lower chakras. Bring spirit to the unconscious. Bring spirit to all of the differentiation that's out there. God seems to like differentiation. When he had the Big Bang, all this one product went out and it started just differentiating into all kinds of things. And ever since then, everybody's been thinking their differentiation form is the only legitimate good one that God likes. Well, that's not exactly true according to what Einstein says God thinks. You should know. So, the idea is, rather than trying to get out of the physical, he wants us to learn how to bring spirit into the physical. And I think I'm not too far off on that. Now, he might still call me a horse's, but I think I'm passing it on as clear as he can communicate it to me. Okay? So what else can I say here? And we'll finish this up. Awareness through self-focus. Authenticity. Okay. So a lot of this stuff in Kundalini Yoga, it takes a lot of practice. A lot of practice early in the morning, if you do it right, like Rebecca does, early in the morning. But tell me if I'm wrong. For me, this is what I'm finding. It makes for more play and more peace and more security and more humor. Humor, I got humor. And creativity. And then these last two I really like too. One is magnetic attraction. We talk about magnetic attraction. And there's the man that brought Kundalini Yoga to America. His name is Yogi Bhajan. He did this in 1969. And he said, a quote, "Vibrate the cosmos and the cosmos will clear the path." So it's kind of like almost you just kind of like get in the right vibration and everything will kind of come to you the way it's kind of supposed to. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that I believe Einstein led me to this yoga stuff. And then it just so happened, even though I've been in town for 25 years, about a mile from my house on the other side of Balboa Park, and I lived within Balboa Park, just on the other side, there's a Kundalini Yoga ashram. These people have been living there since 1970, and they do yoga classes, and every morning you can go down there and practice yoga with them. And so I found that place. And then a couple of months later, it turns out just two blocks from my house, there's a Kundalini Yoga, a specific dedicated Kundalini Yoga studio that opens up. So it's kind of like, gee, maybe I'm supposed to do this stuff. And it seemed to be awful convenient. Like the universe couldn't make it any easier for me to kind of show up. It's like, if you don't show up, you're a, what was that, whore? Or no. So, and another magnetic attraction example. I got a replacement vehicle a couple of months in June. A friend of mine said, you know, here's a vehicle. You want it? And I kind of thought about it for a minute, but I took it. But the universe knew I needed a replacement vehicle before I did, before my other vehicle even broke down. So it was kind of like better than just-in-time inventory control. It was right there. Okay. And then, what do I need to say about radiance other than that someday I hope to be sparkly and smiley all the time like Rebecca. So, I'm attracting more radiant people to my life as a general rule, and I'm enjoying more intimacy with the people, and I generally, Millie even says I look better a lot of the time and that she's happy to hear from me, unlike she used to. She always said she was happy to hear from me. But. So I'm going to close up real quick. There's a couple of Yogi Bhajan quotes. He says, don't plan happiness, don't plan anything. Just plan one simple thing, get to God, and everything will get to you. And then the other thing he says is, the universe is set up for us to win. So, can't miss. But that's my experience the last year or so. And thanks for listening.
You know, what he's explaining is hard to explain.